We have been flagging for some time now. We're going to be speaking to Collingwood National Recruiting Manager Derek Hine, and he has been good enough to get himself out of one of the many meetings he'll be having today and throughout this week to join us on Trade Radio. He's a man who is very generous with his time when it comes to us on Trade Radio, Terry, and we love talking to him because he's always very open and honest and tells us exactly what's going on there at the Pies. Derek, thanks for joining us. So you've got a few decisions to make, haven't you, on names that are very significant to Collingwood Footy Club. But we'll start with Dale Thomas, if we can, just to see where you are at with him.
Yeah, well, I suppose nothing more than been reported in the radio, Damien. Dale's obviously in a situation where he's a restricted free agent, so he can entertain potential offers, and obviously Carlton is a strong suitor for him. So we're in constant dialogue with Paul and in turn Dale as to where things sit. So we're just sort of waiting to see how it all plays out, but. You know, from our side of things, you know, we found both Paul and Dale really professional in their dealings, and again, it'll sort of play itself out in due course.
Yeah, sure. Do you expect other clubs to come for Dale? I mean, there is talk and has been there for some time that should Buddy Franklin do as expected and leave Hawthorn, that Hawthorn would also be interested in having a look at and making an offer for Dale.
Well, I'm sure there's that potential in our conversations with Paul. You know, Carlton is a team that's showing the strongest interest.
Yep.
So, obviously the Dale's a significant player and obviously a well-credentialed player. So, you know, I think that any list would have an interest in him if they had the TPP scope, for sure.
Yeah. Do you now know, in your mind at least, the figure that you as Collingwood will go to by way of meeting Carlton's offer for Dale under the restricted free agency rules?
Oh, it's a little bit of cat and mouse, I suppose, Dana. We're in a situation where we've already made one offer to Paul, and obviously on behalf of his client Dale. So it's sort of just we're in a situation now where we've met with Paul again last week and discussed a few different options, and so it's now a matter of Paul communicating to Dale where we sit. And then I suppose, you know, the rules permit us to have the last rights, I suppose. So we'll wait and see how all that plays out.
Derek, how do you balance that off with sort of trying to sort of know that you've got cap money available to go after other players? Do you have to play it both ways, or do you have to play out the Thomas situation and then wait, or do you sort of say, well, gee, we've got to get back into the marketplace and we've sort of got to hedge our bets two ways?
It's a really good point, Terry. From our side of things, that you know, we're obviously entertaining different types of players and, you know, looking at their list needs and so on. So it certainly does make an impact. But what we've been able to do is free a certain percentage of our cap space, which will give us the scope to have a look at, you know, different potentials that are in the market. In terms of, you know, free agents and unrestricted free agents, is really no player there that we'd be looking at. We're reasonably confident where the list is at, you know, in terms of its balance. So it's just a matter of looking at some potentials, and if they certainly fit a need, well, then we'll entertain them.
We'll leave Dale Thomas after this. Next one, Derek. Do you know categorically what the AFL will give you by way of compensation should he go to Carlton?
Oh, I wouldn't have a clue. I mean,
you'd have a clue, wouldn't you? Surely you'd have a clue.
Oh, well... From our side of things, look, there's only really one indicator in terms of what happened to Goddard last year.
Yep.
You know, and I'm only surmising the figures at the moment. So I suppose that's a case in point. So if we got a similar conversation, if Dale did decide to leave, you know, I'm imagining it at the sort of the first round selection next to our selection, which at the moment is 10.
Yeah, sure. Derek, your views on the Heath Shaw situation too. He's got a 2-year contract still to run, but as we know, he and the club are looking at options elsewhere. Can you update us on where those talks are at, please?
Oh, that's just pretty much in a nutshell where it's at, Dana. We've got there's a few clubs that have indicated they've got an interest in, and I think they've already been. You know, Melbourne have shown a little bit of interest, and GWS have shown some interest. And I think there is some further interest. I haven't spoken to Ben yet, but he's indicated there may be a little bit more. I don't know any specifics in terms of the club. But, Yeah, and again, from our side of things, and certainly Ben and obviously Heath, it's just sitting back and having a look at what suits both parties, and I think it's pretty well been documented heavily so far in the media as to where things are at.
Just with, you seem to have lost a lot of experience over this period. Will you balance that off with bringing some back in, Derek? Is that likely?
Well, we have lost a lot of experience, but we haven't lost a lot of games played in 2008. If you look at the average games per player, you know, with Alan and Joel's and these types of guys, it's actually less than 8 games per player. So we have the opportunity to bring in some depth players and some guys that have come through by debutating 8 players, and there's some guys that have really shown the scope to actually play at the level. So that was really pleasing. That was probably one of the real positives that come out of the year, having played those 40 odd players and debutant debuting 8 players. So from our side of things, it's just about sitting back and looking at where the potential is in the market and how we can potentially attack it and improve on a year-to-year basis. But we're very, very mindful of the profile of the list in terms of the age profile, because, you know, with Darren going out, Alan going out, and Crack, John O, these sorts of guys, you know, they're all sort of around their 30 mark. So the list is going to become younger. But I think with the game and the way that it's played, you know, it's getting harder and harder. And I think you really need some real depth in terms of AFL-ready types. And we'll potentially look at how that's going to be able to assist us through the marketplace.
Derek, I'd be fascinated to know how you go about actually analysing how you went in, say, last year's trade and free agency period. Obviously, you did a couple of flip-flops to get some draft picks in, which allowed you to get Brody Grundy. Do you actually sit back at the end of all that and can you analyse it, or does it take, you know, 3 years to be able to analyse a period? How do you go about that?
Well, the first thing that we did leading into last year's free agency and trade period was look at how we could potentially improve our position without diminishing our potential in the draft. And that's where the free agency and restricted free agent scope is there. So we're able to bring Clinton Young in, who was a 26-year-old at the time, come from a very good football club in terms of, in obviously Hawthorn, and played in premierships and so on. Unfortunately, Clinton was injured for the majority of the year, so he didn't get a real good run at it. So he's got some blue skies now, so he's really up and about. So we're really hopeful of him going forward. Quinton Lynch was brought in as a needs player, started the season very well, and if anything, he probably overcooked himself by the way that he trained and carried an injury into the second half of the year. So Cube was, again, a needs player, given that we'd already traded Chris Dawes out to get into the draft again. So that was the philosophy behind it, and we were able to bring in, obviously, Brody, Tim Broomhead and Ben Kennedy. So in terms of our net loss, it wasn't anything per se.
Derek, just with the players we've already mentioned today coming off the list or potentially coming off the list, Dale Thomas and Heath Shaw, just hearing a few things throughout the course of today on Dane Beams and Nathan Brown. I know they're both contracted. Can I just ask you your thoughts on them? Are they locked in absolutely for Collingwood for 2014?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
120%.
Rule them out of the talk.
Nathan Brown's agreed to a 3-year deal.
Yep.
We just haven't released that, Damien, because for the reasons we've just previously discussed, we've got everything's all ready to go, but we just, because you can imagine with you know, particularly Dale and Heath, they have a lot of money tied up in their ASA agreement. So if we can't really write up those other contracts until we've been able to look at how much we've got in that area. So if we don't write them up with that ASA component, it means that we lose that money, and we certainly don't want to do that.
Yep. So Nathan Brown's signed for 3 years.
Yeah, and Dane's got another 2 years to go into 14 and 15.
Yep.
Absolutely 100% required players.
And we've spoken to other people representing these two players today, Taylor Adams and Jesse White. You're obviously keen on both.
Yeah, well, I think in Taylor's case, I think we're one of 10 Melbourne clubs that have interviewed him. And look, you know, I mean, he's a 20-year-old boy that's... you know, he's got leadership scope, and he's already a really solid performer at the level. So, you know, we don't know where Tay is in terms of whether he'd like to come to us yet. We've certainly got a strong interest in Tay. Jesse White, we spoke to today, who's obviously indicated that he wants to come to Melbourne, and you might think that everyone will agree Jesse's second half of the season has been really promising, and he's sort of got to that age now, being the 25-year-old, where it's really all started to come together with him, and Terry would know that the bigger fellows do take a little bit of time, and he saw that window and he took it quite well, and was a proven performer throughout the final series. I think he averaged 20 possessions a game and so on. So we'll wait and see how that one plays out, but there certainly has been a commitment as such from either party.
Well, the other thing with Jesse White too is he's got really good athletic traits too, hasn't he? Does that give me the sense then that you may not go down the path of Ben Reid playing forward? Are you looking at trying to get another key power forward into your side so that Reid can go back again?
No, not as such, I think, Terry. I think that with Ben and Jesse, I mean, Jesse's, you're absolutely 100% right in terms of the athleticism. I mean, at times he plays up on the wing, he gets behind the ball, and once he's able to turn his opponent around, he's just got that ability to find space. So by bringing in Jesse, or potentially bringing in Jesse, who's sort of that 194, 195 bracket, he gives us the flexibility to move a Reid, or we'd like to even look at Lachlan Keith with the ability to come forward and back. So what we'd like to do is have 2 to 3 195-plus players who can play either end of the ground, depending on the circumstances, if you like.
Derek, just before we let you go, is there anything else you're happy to volunteer for us on Trade Radio to hear us talking about what you may do or may bring in or may lose?
No, we're just like every other club, mate. We're just batting away and hoping to improve our list in bits and pieces. And from our side of things, we feel that the draft this year probably doesn't provide the depth that it has in the past.
Okay.
Having said that, 2015 draft looks very strong, and it looks like it has some real depth. So, our club, and I'm sure other clubs are as well, they're sort of planning towards 2015 already, and we'll do that as well. More than likely, we'll with 38 players on the list, which will give a couple of our rookies the chance to be nominated, and that'll be done by their performance. So, we're in that cycle, aren't we? We're either planning for the 14th and the 15th and the 16th season, so we're no different to any other club.
Sure. Derek, just on that, and the last one from me is, would that mean that you'd be prepared to move on draft picks more this year because of how you see the draft?
Later picks, Terry. Later picks, yep. Yeah. I mean, if we, depending on what happens, with Dale, and we're none the wiser there.
Yep.
We certainly, with our earlier picks, we want to hang on to them and potentially, but we're certainly of the understanding that, with Tyler Adams was to come in, he's a pick 13 in previous drafts and performing every bit as a pick as a first round choice. So we're not silly about what we do, but I mean, it's like anything. We sit back and look at the market and try to put a value to the player and or the pick. But so. Particularly those later picks, I think we're more than happy to sort of move them out.
Derek, as always on Trade Radio, we appreciate your time, and we'll probably touch base with you at least one more time in the next 3.5-4 weeks. And thanks for joining us today.
No worries, boys. Have a good day.
Very kind, National Recruiting Manager of Collingwood. There's a bit in that, Terry, when you look at it. They're keen to play again, aren't they?
Absolutely, and what I took out of that straight away is that if they could get Taylor Adams in for the compensation that they were to pick up if they lose a Dale Thomas, I think that they'd sort of see that with the younger man as being a win.
Okay. Bit to play out there. Hey, time for a break, and after it, we're going to speak to the officially delisted Cat, Josh Hunt. So this is AFL Trade Radio. More after the break. Josh Hunt to join us then.